This podcast is brought to you by Boomer Naturals Face Coverings. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals Face Covering banner. At checkout, put in code HowieCar20 and save 20%. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, but he's morbidly obese.
Oh, I don't respond to her. I think she's a waste of time.
A few moments later.
Pelosi is a sick woman. She's got a lot of problems, a lot of mental problems.
You're asking me about the appropriateness of the actions of this president of the United States. He comes in with doggy do on his shoes.
Oh, it's all right. I'm sure that we can handle this situation maturely, just like the responsible adults that we are. Isn't that right, Mr. Poopy Pants?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. You got fired.
Yesterday, I met with the general prosecutor, Soto.
Yeah.
And despite of the fact that we didn't have any corruption charges, he bring me the written statement of his resignation.
Great.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I am prepared to do a public signing of the commitment for the $1 billion. Again, I'm not suggesting that that's what you want or don't want.
Listen carefully and watch me wink as I speak, okay?
I'm just suggesting that that's what we're prepared to do.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Yeah, it's good.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. The toll-free number, if you'd like to join us, is 844-500-4242. I don't usually have somebody beside me here in the studio, at least in not in Boca Raton. But today I am joined by Roger Stone, another victim.
Of
you've heard a lot these days about Michael Flynn, but he's not the only one, and Roger Stone is looking at jail time, prison time, in a completely concocted, ridiculous railroad frame up, whatever you want to call it. He's a victim of the special prosecutor, and he's going to be here all hour. So we've had him on before, but we never had a chance to really go at it in great detail. So this is it. We're going to have Roger Stone with us the entire hour here. 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls if you want to ask him some questions directly. Roger, thanks for being with us. And what's the current situation right now?
Well, I was convicted in the District of Columbia by a corrupted jury and a biased judge on seven criminal counts, and I was sentenced to 40 months in prison, 2 years of supervised probation, I think it's 230 hours of community service, and a $25,000 fine.
What exactly were you convicted of?
That's the amazing thing.
That's why we need an hour to explain it.
For almost 2 years, CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Daily Beast, and many others said Roger Stone will be convicted of colluding with the Russians. Roger Stone will be convicted of treason. Roger Stone will be charged with conspiracy against the United States. Roger Stone will be accused of the receipt and dissemination of stolen emails by WikiLeaks. Roger Stone will be charged with mail fraud, wire fraud, cyber crimes, including unauthorized access to a computer, aiding and abetting a felony.
Don't forget conspiracy.
Conspiracy
RICO.
Against the United States. It was all, and of course, none of those things were
racketeering
true.
Enterprise.
So in the end, prosecutors, notably the famous Andrew Weissman, perhaps the most corrupt, dirty cop of them all, pasted together an indictment that charged me with lying to Congress specifically about the Trump campaign's interest in the WikiLeaks disclosures, which, of course, is not illegal. In other words, there was no underlying crime for me to lie about and to violate the False Statements Act.
This is a recurring theme in all these prosecutions, right? No underlying crime.
Right. So, but in order to violate the False Statements Act, which is what I was charged with, you have to have both intent and it has to be material. I had no motive to lie. Donald Trump hammered the WikiLeaks issue on 142 occasions in September and October. Assange had announced in June that he had a cache of documents on Hillary that he was going to release. Everybody was interested in knowing what he had. There was never any evidence that I knew the source or content of that information prior to its release, even though liberals kept insisting I did. So it was basically a political prosecution. They didn't bring charges against me until at least a year and a half after they already knew there was no Russian collusion.
Right. They knew that from day one, didn't they?
So their real purpose became clear in July of 2019 when one of the prosecutors, ironically, Jeannie Rhee, who represented Hillary Clinton as a lawyer in the stolen email case and the Clinton Foundation, approached one of my lawyers and said,
just a disinterested prosecutor,
it's time for your client to come clean. It's time for your client to confess. If he would re-remember the content of these 20...
Re-remember?
Re-remember.
That was the word she used?
The content of these 29 phone calls between candidate Trump and Stone in 2016, and you have a list of them here. They're all over 30 minutes. There were others, but these are the ones we're interested in. If he would come clean that these were really about Russia and WikiLeaks, you know, we might see our way clear to propose to the judge that he do no jail time. Now, we can't guarantee you that she would do that, but we probably could work things out. And my lawyer said, well, I'd have to consult my client, but I don't think he'll be interested. She said, go ahead, step out in the hallway, call your client. And my lawyer called me, said, here's what they proposed. And I said, well, just tell them no. There's not a chance in hell that I'm going to do that. And being a lawyer, he said, no, wait a minute. Maybe I said, no, there's no wait a minute. I'm not going to lie against the President of the United States. I've said it for a year. I will not bear false witness against Donald Trump. I think he's one of the greatest presidents of my lifetime. And this was just before the Mueller report came out. So they knew there was no ham in their ham sandwiches. They wanted me to be the ham in their ham sandwich, and I was not interested. That's what this was really about. That is why they have destroyed me financially, ruined my reputation, muzzled me so that I could not defend myself.
Right. Last time you were here, you couldn't even talk about this case.
That's correct. I was still technically under a gag order last time I was.
I've never heard of that, by the way. You were already convicted and she had you under a gag order. How was this Obama judge? What's her name? Amy Berman Jackson.
So Judge Jackson put a gag order on me when I started pointing out that the government admitted in discovery in my case that the FBI never inspected the computer servers at the DNC. And once I began touting that, which they admitted, that's when they really tightened the gag order on me. And her justification for this was that my defense of myself might taint the DC jury. What about the Washington Post, which was urinating on me on a daily basis? Would that taint the D.C. jury or CNN? Does that taint?
How about How about the social media of the jury foreman? Did that taint anything? Tell people about that in case they don't know.
The president referred to this morning. So I had at trial, first of all, the judge specifically prohibited several lines of defense. So arguing, for example, that Comey, Clapper, Brennan, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Rosenstein, ultimately Mueller himself, all lied to Congress.
Right.
I was not allowed to make that argument specifically. I was not allowed to question the conduct of the special counsel's office, of the FBI, of the DOJ, or of any member of Congress, Adam Schiff. I was specifically prohibited from that. I was not allowed to argue and prove, which I could have done with forensic evidence and expert testimony, that no one hacked the DNC, including the Russians.
Right.
They were not the target of a hack, that the information, the evidence demonstrates, was downloaded to some kind of portable drive, taken out the back door. But I was denied the right to make any of those arguments. At the same time, I had a jury that had no Trump supporters, had no Republicans, had no military veterans.
It was the District of Columbia.
Right. It was,
what did Hillary got, like, what, 91% of the vote in the district?
71, actually, because Jill Stein got the rest.
Okay. Oh, the Russian asset.
Right, exactly.
As Hillary Clinton called her, the Green Party candidate.
So it is, but after the trial, we learned that the jury forewoman, who outed herself on CNN. Her name is Tomika Hart. I didn't announce her name. She did.
Former congressional candidate against Cohen,
right.
the one white guy in the black congressional black caucus
from
Memphis.
And a lawyer, so therefore knows the rules, had attacked me by name on social media starting the day I was arrested, January 25th of 2019, and then subsequently, and then had also attacked Donald Trump just throughout the entire year. It is argued that the tweets and Facebook posts attacking Trump are immaterial. That's not grounds for dismissing her as a juror. But the attacks on me by name several times in 2019 definitely shows bias. She hid that bias during jury selection.
So they asked her voir dire. They tried to, because they could have had a summary challenge and just thrown her off. But she didn't tell them the truth.
Well,
right?
And more importantly, her social media platforms were on private settings during the trial. So the charge is your lawyer should have known. There was no way for my lawyers to know. And then immediately after the trial, she closed her Facebook account. See, her MO was to take a Facebook link and posted on Twitter. So once she closed her Facebook page, which she had since 2008, and then she opened a new one, the evidence had disappeared. The judge specifically denied us the right to subpoena the information from Facebook to try to recover it. And then she issued an opinion which she said that we had not demonstrated bias by the jury foreperson, and my sentence stands.
We're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back with Roger Stone. He'll be with us all hour. If you've got any questions for him, give us a call, 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Before we go back to Roger Stone, let's do the poll question of the day. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will you go to a restaurant if you have to wear a mask while you're not eating?
Absolutely not.
80% say no.
Yeah. I don't have to think much about that. I don't care how good the restaurant is. All right. We're back with Roger Stone. He's the political operative, longtime political operative. He worked for Donald Trump off and on for many years in New York in the old days. And he's now a convicted felon. I mean, this was a real railroad. I mean, several people have been railroaded, including Michael Flynn, including George Papadopoulos. They've tried to railroad others, but this is right up there, and he's looking at a lot of time. And you've been saying it's a death sentence.
Well, I'm 67 years old. I've had some history of respiratory problems. COVID is rampant in our prison system. Yeah, I have legitimate concern that at my age to go into a federal prison, I may never come out. An appeal. I have filed a notice of appeal. I think the judge made a number of errors, and there's a number of constitutional questions surrounding my conviction, including the bias of the jury forewoman. But that could take 2 years, $2 million that I have to go out and raise, because the first thing they do in this process is destroy you financially. I mean, I've lost everything. I've lost my home, my savings, most of my insurance, my ability to make a living, because I've been gagged for the last year and a half, and I make a living by writing and speaking, to try to induce you to plead. And in my case, what they wanted to induce me to do was to bear false witness against the president. Specifically, on July 24th of 2019, a member of the Mueller team approached my lawyers when we were in town for a hearing and said that if I would come clean, if I would confess,
meaning come dirty,
right, confess and re-remember the content of some 29 phone calls between candidate Trump and myself in 2016, which they had records of,
right,
that they might see they were their way clear to recommend to the judge that I serve no jail time. Now, they couldn't guarantee that the judge would take that recommendation, but we could work things out. And it didn't take me long
to
say no.
Of course, the judge and the prosecutor were, in effect, one and the same. They were Democrat, Obama, Hillary Clinton operatives.
Well, that was particularly true when we went after the trial, the motion, we had to set aside the verdict and have a new trial based on the juror's conduct. In that session, the judge essentially acted like the juror's attorney, tried to make the case that when she said that all of Trump's supporters were racist, how was she even to know that Roger Stone was a supporter of Donald Trump? Well, how could she not know it if she's been in politics, had run for Congress, or picked up a newspaper or watched TV over the last previous year? Of course she knew. Everybody knew who it was political. So, no, it was a Soviet-style show trial. It was a kangaroo court from the beginning. First, they eliminate all the powerful lines of defense. Then they gag you so that you can't defend yourself in public. They break you financially to try to make you plead, and I refuse. That's why
it's like an old movie where they go through the motions and then they lynch you.
Yeah, that is essentially true. I think any reasonable-minded American who watched the process would understand that. But it's funny, my actual trial didn't get that much coverage. The only thing that got coverage was my conviction. Most Americans couldn't tell you what it is I was charged with. The last they heard, I was being examined for being a Russian spy, which, in view of the fact that my family members got mowed down by Russian tanks in Budapest in 1956, I have no truck for the Russians. I hate the Russians.
So Donald Trump saw one of your interviews last night, I guess, or you were with Lou Dobbs, and so he tweeted out about it today, and I'll just read you. First, he tweeted out about the quote that you basically just gave us about how you wouldn't lie to beat the rap, and you said he was one of the greatest presidents of my lifetime. I would never give false testimony. So then the second tweet is, this is Donald J. Trump this morning. Roger Stone has been treated very unfairly. How about that jury forewoman? Does anybody think that was fair? Disgraceful, all caps. Exclamation point. Stay tuned.
Well, it gives me hope. I mean,
do you want a pardon?
I've been very forthright about the fact that I have prayed fervently for a pardon. My family members are praying for a pardon. Many of my supporters who helped me finance my legal defense are praying for a pardon. But Donald Trump, who I've known for 40 years, is a man of great justice, and he's a man of great fairness. And I believe that no one tells him what to do and when to do it. I'm hopeful that he will do that. I've not formally appeal for a pardon, although that's not necessary. My lawyers have not been in touch with the White House lawyers. Am I praying for one? Absolutely. Positively.
I mean, I don't think there's any way you're going to jail, but I mean, he may want to wait until, I think he obviously wants to wait until after the election, but, you know, I mean, that's going to, how much money are you going to be out appealing between now and the election?
Right now, I'm expected to report to the Bureau of Prisons at the end of May, with the caveat
At the end of May. That's less than 2 weeks away.
Correct. With the caveat that could be extended because of the COVID situation. But I certainly will be incarcerated at this point before the election. Of that, I think there is very little doubt.
We'll be right back with Roger Stone, and we'll talk about his arrest last January. 29 FBI agents. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Sitting beside me is Roger Stone, a longtime political operative, friend of Donald Trump, now looking at the possibility of perhaps going to prison as quickly as about the end of the month. because he was railroaded in a D.C. courtroom by an Obama judge, and the Mueller team of angry Democrats, very, very corrupt. We're finding out more and more how corrupt they are. And Roger, a lot of people are texting, and they one of the things they really remember about you is that raid that you talk about, a show trial. You had a show raid, something straight out of Hollywood.
Yeah, it was really.
This was in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, it was really extraordinary. So, look, for a year, the media kept pounding on this idea that I would be charged any minute. And as the end of the year approached, around December, it got to be Mueller zeroing in on Stone, Mueller to tighten the noose on Stone, Mueller totally
walls closing in.
Walls closing in, the whole thing. And then on January 24th in the evening, I got a call from a producer at CNN who said, could I get your address? I want to mail you something. And I said, okay. So my address is easily found online.
Right.
And I said to my wife, they're coming to arrest me tomorrow morning. She said, oh, you've been saying that for months. I said, no, honey, this time I'm absolutely sure. So I set my alarm for 5 a.m. I got up. I took a shower. I put on my Roger Stone Did Nothing Wrong T-shirt, which, by the way, you can get the Roger Stone Still Did Nothing Wrong T-shirts at fightback.store if you're interested, or your free Roger Stone T-shirt, or other paraphernalia, which has helped pay for my legal defense.
Yeah, where do people go if they want to find out more?
They can go to fightback.store for the products. If you want to help my legal defense, mm-hmm. you can go to stonedefensefund.com. If you want to sign a petition to the president urging him to pardon me, you can go to freerogerstone.com. In any event, so I was sitting in an upstairs bathroom window where you can see the entire front yard. And sure enough, a CNN camera crew showed up and set up about 25 feet from my front door. And then
they were the first on the scene.
The first ones on the scene. Then 14 minutes later, 17 armored vehicles arrive. With 29 heavily armed, totally SWAT gear clad, mm-hmm. Assault weapon bearing FBI agents. I didn't know this until I saw the security camera footage, but two FBI boats pull up to the dock in the back of my house because I lived on a canal at that time.
The FBI Navy?
There are frogmen with assault weapons because I guess they thought I would make a run for it, even though I can't really swim.
Sounds like D-Day. Did any paratroops drop out of the sky?
There was a helicopter overhead. they approach the house. They bang on the door saying, FBI, open the door. They bring a big battering ram up to the front door as if I'm not going to open it. They've got these dogs on leashes, a canine unit, it was very, it was very scary. So I, of course, opened the door, and they said, are you Roger Stone? I said, yes. They said, please step outside and put your hands behind your back. We have a warrant for your arrest and a warrant to search these premises. And, of course, CNN caught the whole thing on film. Now, Howie, the leak of the execution of a search warrant is a felony, very specifically a felony. And CNN insists that they were just there on a hunch. It was just a good journalistic guess. If so, that would be the shortest stakeout in American journalistic criminal history. To this day, the FBI under Christopher Wray refuses to hand over email traffic between CNN and the FBI in the days and weeks before my raid. Judicial Watch has now had to sue for that information because the FBI, which has a legal obligation to turn it over, refuses to do so. So at that point, I was wearing a T-shirt and shorts, no shoes. They marched me out in the middle of the street, handcuffed behind my back. They asked me who else is in the house. I say, my wife. They say, where is she? I said, in the upstairs bedroom. She's still asleep. My wife is essentially deaf without her hearing aids, completely deaf. She wakes up looking down the barrel of a gun, just as I opened the door, looking down the barrel of two guns. She didn't know whether it was a home invasion. I mean, she was completely disoriented. They march her out in the middle of the street in her night clothing, bare feet, to stand 10 feet away from me. She's not allowed to touch her cell phone, which is ringing wildly because CNN's already got it on TV.
They're on live? They're broadcasting live?
They must have been live. Now, I was arrested at 6 a.m. At 7 a.m., the Office of the Special Counsel blasts a copy of my indictment to all the media, plus they post it on their website. The problem with that, there's two problems with that. One, Andrew Weissman has left his initials in the meta tag for the indictment, so we know he wrote it. And secondarily, the judge in Washington, actually a magistrate, didn't unseal it until 9:30. So their release of it was illegal, but the judge in my case didn't care about that. The FBI acted very professionally, I will say that. They were courteous once I was in custody. It's interesting, the difference between the agents from D.C. that were running this thing and the agents from Miami who would look at me and roll their eyes. You know, they knew that this was not necessary.
The guys who weren't it from D.C., the real cops, in other words.
I mean,
that's my experience.
The FBI's argument, the special counsel's argument that I had to be arrested in this manner was that I was a flight risk. But 3 hours later, when they arraigned me, they don't require any cash bond, which means they let me out on my signature, which means they knew I wasn't a flight risk. I don't have a valid passport. It had expired. I don't own a gun, just because I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, but I don't have a gun because I have grandchildren. I don't want a gun in the house for that reason. I'm completely recognizable. I live on a canal, but as I point out, I can't swim. Where would I run to? And it's been widely publicized that I'm under investigation for 16 months. Everybody knows. They say, well, if we hadn't arrested Stone in this manner, he might have destroyed evidence.
And
really?
You lost your house because of this.
I lost everything.
I mean, you had to sell your house to raise money.
I've lost my home. I've lost my car. I've lost my savings. I lost my ability to make a living. No, I lost my ability, my right to free speech for 16 months. No, this is part of the process. They do that to pressure you into cooperating. And I refuse to cooperate by stating falsehoods about the president and dissembling about our conversations that were all about politics, had nothing to do with Russia or WikiLeaks.
Why didn't you ask for a change of venue? I'm just looking at some text messages. We'll take some calls here in a moment.
You could not get a change of venue, and this judge who heard my case was not randomly selected. What they claimed was that my case was related to the case of the Russians who are charged with hacking the DNC, a case that has never come to trial.
Right.
A case where they've never even had discovery.
Where they're never going to have.
Never going to have. But
yeah.
They claim that my email address was found in the address book of one of the Russian. It was an absurdity. But we challenged that and we were turned down. So there was no change of venue allowed. And the judge was not randomly selected. Mm-hmm. I got the same judge that heard the Paul Manafort case, the same judge who dismissed the wrongful death suit by the Benghazi families against Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
Now, you told me something off air that I'd never heard before. You had, during the trial, you know, the gallery's open, anybody can walk in. So there was you had an interesting visitor
the
trial.
I noticed on two different days of my trial that Judge Emmett Sullivan, who was the judge who sat in General Flynn's case.
Small world, huh?
And by the way, I think General Flynn is a great American hero and could be the only guy on the face of the planet who got screwed worse than I did by the Mueller dirty cops.
It's neck and neck,
But I noticed that Judge Sullivan, not wearing his robes, obviously, would come and sit in the back of the courtroom and watch his colleague, Amy Berman Jackson. So I gather they're very close. It's interesting that Judge Sullivan has quoted Judge Jackson, but this new move to appoint a special counsel who is himself one of the dirtiest cops in New York history, a guy named John Gleason. Let's look at his prosecutorial background.
Worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Brooklyn with none other than Andrew Weissman.
Right.
When the FBI agent allegedly was okay in hits by the mob in a Colombo family crime war.
They basically lied about an FBI informant, and therefore the convictions of all the heads of the hierarchy of the Colombo mob were overturned because of their lies. But we'll get sidetracked there. The point, of course, is that these two, this action they've taken against General Flynn is outrageous. And now they want to determine whether by folding to the relentless pressure they put on him to plead something he didn't do, he should now be charged with perjury. Mr. President, it is time to end this persecution of a great American hero. It is outrageous what they've done to General Flynn. And I know how he feels. I know how his family feels. I would like to see justice for him.
Are you satisfied with your lawyers, or have you talked? Someone wanted to know if you've talked to Sidney Powell, because she's really done a bang up job for Michael Flynn.
She's done an amazing job, but I have new attorneys. I'm represented by David Schoen of Atlanta, and represented by Seth Ginsburg of New York. I'm very pleased with them. I was not happy with my representation at trial, although to a certain extent their hands were incredibly tied.
Right.
My new team, I have Paul Kaminar has joined that team today. So, and of course, my longtime personal lawyer, Grant Smith. I'm very pleased with their approach. They are much more aggressive. I asked Sidney Powell for recommendations. David Schoen was among those lawyers that she recommended. I think she's done a phenomenal job for General Flynn. And I thank God that she has, because his own lawyers ratted him out. I mean, he paid them $6 million and they essentially brought him to the gallows. It was outrageous.
Do you ever think of yourself, someone on Rush was saying this today, that he was mentioning Flynn, that the Flynn case was a lot like the Dreyfus case in France, where they basically framed the guy, even though they knew he was innocent. And they sent him to Devil's Island. You know, I mean, and you're kind of a Dreyfus case, aren't you?
It's complete fabrication. And again, I went to the House Intelligence Committee voluntarily. I was there for 6 hours. The last two of them, I could have left after four, but I insisted on staying to answer questions. Any misstatement I made was immaterial. It didn't hide any other crime. Oh, you were hiding the Trump campaign's interest in WikiLeaks? Everybody was interested in WikiLeaks.
Right.
Trump had said this repeatedly on the stump. And the witness tampering charge, the guy who I'm accused of having threatened, said on the stand that he never felt threatened, wrote a letter to the judge saying he never felt threatened, and in fact, He himself had threatened other witnesses to the grand jury.
Roger, I saw that email. You threatened to kill his dog.
No, I threatened to take his dog. But if you saw the email before that, I said, are you feeding that dog? I'm going to report you to the Humane Society because I don't think you're feeding that dog. But they didn't show you that email. They only show the one where I said, I'm going to take your dog. So the context, he said specifically, I never thought Stone was seriously going to take my dog. That was an Andrew Weissman special to make it sound more corrupt. But what was the point of arresting me on national television when I have no prior criminal record? I'm not a threat to anyone. I'm charged with white-collar process crimes and dog stealing, or the threat to steal a dog. But
that's conspiracy.
But they had to send more men than they used to take down Bin Laden. It cost the taxpayers $1.1 million.
How did you find that out?
Somebody in the FBI office in Miami told us that number. I think it's
$1.1
million. And let's remember that my lawyers had spoken to the special counsel's office the day before, because we turned over 30 pages of text messages between Randy Credico and I, which I believe prove indisputably that he was my source regarding the fact that whatever WikiLeaks had was incendiary and would come out in October, both of which he turned out to be right of. There was never any evidence or proof that I knew the source or the content of the WikiLeaks disclosures until they were published.
We're going to take a break, and we'll take a couple of calls for Roger Stone when we come back, and we'll give you the address again if you want to contribute or buy some product saying Roger Stone is still not guilty.
Roger Stone still did nothing wrong.
I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. We're here with Roger Stone, a former political operative. He'd like to be a political operative again. He's looking at jail prison time. He's been convicted, railroaded. I think there's no question about it. And he's asking for a pardon or a commutation from the president before he has to report to the Bureau of Prisons at the end of the month. And we're going to take a couple of calls. We're going to tweet out the web addresses where you can contribute or just read more about the case or buy his product. But why don't you give him one more time over the air? And our tweet, if you want to follow us, at Howie Carr Show. but go ahead. Where can they go?
So if you want to help finance my appeal and my efforts to stay out of prison in the short term, you can go to stonedefensefund.com. If you want to help me and my family, you can go to stonefamilyfund.com. If you want to sign a petition to the president, you can go to freerogerstone.com. And if you want to buy your very own Roger Stone Still Did Nothing Wrong t-shirt, a replica of the t-shirt I was arrested in, you can go to fightback.store.
And all a great Father's Day gift.
The best.
All right. Okay, and again, we'll tweet out all those addresses at HowieCarrShow.com. Bill, you're next with Howie Carr and Roger Stone. Go ahead, Bill.
Mr. Stone, first of all, I'd like you to know that myself, my family, and a lot of us here in Florida are praying for you to be released, for this to go away. I know exactly how you are feeling. Some years ago, I served 5 years in a federal prison because I wouldn't testify against some people. I was never indicted. My wife got an appeal lawyer. I was never indicted. They wouldn't even allow me to the appeal. The judge turned me down for an appeal because he said my testimony was not worthy of an appeal, and I was never even allowed to testify. So. Yeah.
So this happens a lot more than a lot of law-abiding citizens think it does. I always use the quote from Lenny Bruce: "In the halls of justice, the only justice is in the halls."
Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts and I appreciate your situation. I've been very forthright about this. That this past January, I had an opportunity to meet with Reverend Franklin Graham. Now, I was raised as a Roman Catholic. I had all my sacraments in that church. I wasn't ever a particularly religious guy. I admit that I'd fallen away from the church and had some wild times when I was younger. But Reverend Graham gave me really good advice. And I told him, look, Reverend Graham, I'm in a point of turmoil. I'm scared. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm worried. And he said, son, turn yourself over to Christ. Reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ. I know this isn't a religious program, and I'm not trying to proselytize, but I must tell you, as soon as I did that, we learned about the corrupt juror. The instant, like within days, their case began to fall apart. So, everything is in his hands. The president is a believer. And I believe at the end of the day that justice will be done. And I urge anybody who's going through any kind of a difficult time, this isn't a joke. Take it seriously. Reaffirm your commitment to God. Confess your sins. Walk in his way. Your life will change. Mine has.
I don't think you're going to prison. I'm pretty sure but again, you shouldn't have to go through any more of this.
Well, I just want to get back to writing books. I've written 5 books. 2 of them are, one of them's a New York Times bestseller. 3 of them are Amazon bestsellers. I would like to get back to that. I'd like to get back to my syndicated radio show, which was just starting to take off when I was arrested, because I've got a face for radio. But this consumes your entire life, raising the money for your legal defense, trying to keep food on the table. I mean, if it were not for the Stone Family Fund and people helping me put gasoline in the tank and groceries on the table, I wouldn't have survived.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Glad to be here.
I'm Howie Carr.